What's up, horror fam?
You know what time it is.
Let's get it on this.
Little death metal intro there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. What's up, everybody?
What's up, everybody? We're back at it again.
Well, Ryan and JT from the Horror Chronicles.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. We got talking, and what we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk about some of our favorite movie monsters. And these can be anything and everything. Just some of our favorites. So when we came up with this idea, we thought that probably the best thing to do is get the man himself, Mr. Monster in the Mosh Pit, Greg Baselli, in here and have him help us out with that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring him in here.
Bring him in.
What's up, Greg?
Horns up. What's up?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Oh, just another day, a beautiful day here in West by God Mothman Country, Virginia.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I forgot. I'm glad that you mentioned that because I was thinking, and I was trying to go through and see if anybody seen a Mothman or predicted seeing something like that after that bridge got hit the other day.
Oh, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Yeah.
No Mothman sightings that I'm aware of. Just a bunch of conspiracy theories about how boats don't lose power and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it never happens.
I don't know. I couldn't steer. I saw a deer.
Some guy in there was like, hey, what's this button for?
Right?
Don't push the button, Charlie.
That button takes you to ludicrous speed.
Yeah. Right into the bridge.
Right into the bridge.
No, seriously. We poke at it, but man, that's horrible. It's a tragedy.
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks, man.
If you can't laugh at tragedies, then what's the point?
Right.
Wait,
what's the point in having a tragedy if you can't laugh at it?
I'm not kidding. That context came out correctly.
This whole show's a fucking tragedy.
Everything about it. We need to rethink ourselves here.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus.
No, but good to see you, man. Good to talk to
you. Yeah, hell yeah.
I always love being on with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
We like to have fun.
A little break from the monotony of the world. You know, I'm kind of glad that he wanted to do this monster thing, because when JT approached me with this one, I was like, you know, there is.
This is my fault, isn't it?
This is your fault. You approached me. I got it in text. Yeah. I got the proof in text messages.
Uh-oh.
So, sorry, guys. I thought I had my phone turned down, but evidently I didn't.
And it wasn't a sext. What it was, I sent him a picture of my enormous cock and said, look at this monster. And he said, hey, let's do an episode.
Let's do a show.
You know?
And by monster, he meant this thing that was like short and had pimples all over it and like warts with hairs all on it. And
hey, it's ribbed for her pleasure.
It was quite terrifying.
Like the end of the witch's nose.
Yeah.
Got a big wart on it.
Just a big wart on the side.
What was it in Porky's? I can recognize that. It had a mole on it.
I see that penis. I can recognize. Are you suggesting a penis lineup? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. I know we can put up wanted posters. Have you seen this prick? Dude, I love that fucking movie, man.
But no, I was thinking with this, as far as like monsters go, there's a lot of them that, you know, you have your hardcore, your Wolfmans, you know, Dracula and all this stuff like that. But some of them, I think, don't get love, but were really good, like a really good monster, either whether it's a concept, the origin of it, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk about all of those.
Cool. Start talking.
So go. So for me, I mean, you know, I've been fascinated with horror films since I was a little kid, you know, and I grew up on, you know, the old school Universal monsters, you know, the Wolfman, the Creature from Black Lagoon, Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, you know, all of that stuff I grew up on. But, you know, as I've grown and got older, I've realized from episodes of Scooby-Doo that the monsters are really us.
Yeah, the people are the monsters.
Yes.
There's definitely a lot of those, for sure. So if you go
There's going to be some of those, but, you know, we're just here to have a conversation about some of our favorites. So, Greg, let me ask you, what is your favorite monster?
Well, that's a loaded question.
It is loaded. That's why I did it.
So the our show is actually named after the Universal Monsters. So Monsters and the Mosh Pit is named after the Universal Monsters. I've had a huge love of them my entire life, ever since watching, the Universal Monsters when I was a small child, and continue to this day. And I've also been a huge fan of Scooby-Doo. And, like you said, where we learned about that the monsters are just people in masks. Well, that was kind of my upbringing, was, the whole upbringing of this is all practical makeups and these aren't real, blah, blah, blah. Because I started watching horror real, real early. So Universal Monsters were always a big thing, but my favorite of them is The Mummy. But if you want to get into current monsters and what I see as a monster, go ahead.
We're going to get into all of them here.
So okay. Why? So,
we got all damn night.
Before we rush into that, why The Mummy for you?
So I'm a huge history buff, and Egyptology has always been a big passion of mine. Between, if I had my goal in life right now, if I could pick up and leave, if I wasn't a father of a 6-year-old and a husband and everything else, I would go to Egypt, or I would go. The other thing is Mesoamerica is my other passion, and I would love to go to either Mexico or South America or Egypt and just study. And that would be that'd be my thing. So mummies were kind of my first introduction into that mythology and stuff like that. Right. And I've always been super passionate about mummies since then. I've watched just about every horror movie that has to do with either Egypt or a mummy or a curse, or even when you get into some of the Mesoamerican stuff. It's just a lot of fun. So The Mummy's always been my passion.
Yeah, and
that's one of my favorite Tales from the Crypt. Christian Slater, the Mummy episode.
Mm.
Well, I don't know if you remember that one.
I've seen that one.
So he's just he's a kid. He's studying that stuff or whatever, if I remember correctly, he worked at a college or was in college and something happened.
Didn't he work at a museum or something?
Yeah, and then, but that was a really good episode with him. That was I remember it got the dust coming out of his mouth and stuff when he freaking all that jazz. I remember all that. Of course, I'm a huge Christian Slater fan too, but that just popped in my head when we talked about mummies, and I was trying to go through all the stuff I've seen of them. And so me and my wife loves The Mummy, the movie with freaking Brendan Fraser.
From 99.
Yeah, yeah.
Great movie.
That's one of her favorites.
Great movie.
So,
yeah, Imhotep.
Yes.
That's what I was wondering is the original mummy in the Universal Monsters mummy, was that Imhotep?
So his name is Imhotep in a sense. And the way that, so there's actually two different people that Boris Karloff plays in that film. Because he plays, and of course I'm drawing on the blank on his name right now, but
right.
When he's wearing the fez, he's actually playing a different character, even though he is actually still the mummy.
Mm.
And then as the mummy, he's the mummy Imhotep. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
Odette Pay or something like that is his name. I think. Odette Pay, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to that stuff with Egypt and stuff like that, the history just goes so far back, and now they're finding out even more that it's older than we think.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Carlson, I'm sure if you're a history buff, you know all about him and all the stuff they're doing.
He's the one with the Sphinx, isn't he?
Yeah, they've been carbon dating and stuff like that, and they're talking about how the Sphinx is older than we think because the damage to it is from the rain and from, so he went back. I'm not very smart with all that stuff. I like listening to smart people talk about it, but he was basically talking about, how the erosion it has to be older than what they think because of all.
Yeah. Of the things he was saying was some of the blocks that were part of the restoration of the back end of the Sphinx was from the 4,500 years ago, which was, 2500 BC, which was the peak era of the golden age, the dynasty of Egypt. Now at that point, the pyramids were just starting to be developed and stuff, and he's saying that the Sphinx was there before the pyramids, basically, instead of vice versa. So.
Right. Which I can't argue there with it or against it or whatever, because I'm definitely not that smart to be arguing with people like that. I just listen to what makes sense, and you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you can see what makes sense and sometimes you can't. It just depends on – new data comes out all the time, and that's the good thing about, doing investigations and things like that, more and more stuff comes out.
That's the cool thing about theories is theories are just theories until you can prove it, you know what I mean? But anybody can have a theory about anything and say – through my studies, I've found that this, and through my studies, I found this. Well, your studies are just studies until you prove it. So it's kind of fun to have all these different theories and to see who's pinpointing what. It's just a fun, don't know.
It's the mystery, man. That's what's cool. And that's what we talk about 1,000 times on this show. It's that not knowing, the imagination, like the mystery of it all. That's what people are missing anymore, it seems like, there's no mystery in the world, but there's a ton of it. And that's what people just need to.
Sorry, I'm up here surfing the internet.
It reminds me of Mark Norman. He's one of my favorite comedians. I fucking love Mark Norman. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's hilarious. But he's got a joke. He was talking about, people are freaking out because Elon Musk bought Twitter. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do? It's so bad. He's like, how about you go outside, you fucking losers? And go do something. Get out and check something out.
We can't record the show outside, so.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is that I like the mystery of it all. And, and that's the cool thing about the mummies, and stuff like that. When they find these in real life, it's just, you're like, man, to think about what could have happened. And, when they talk about how. The way they mummified some of them alive, they did a certain thing or whatever. Dude, that'd be the worst way to die, couldn't imagine that. So there's got to be some bad juju all around that. I don't want to know.
Oh, absolutely. Boy. That's why they have all these curses and stuff, like the curse of King Tut's tomb and all of that,
By the way, his name is Ardeth Bey.
Ardeth Bey.
When he's wearing it, that's his name.
gotcha.
So what's one of your favorites?
So here? I'm like Greg. I grew up on the Universal monsters, and I've always been fascinated with I don't know, it's hard to say, but one of my favorites has always been the Wolfman. I was never a huge mummy fan as far as the movies were. I mean, the movies were good, but I got more into Lon Chaney Jr. as the Wolfman. And then that spurred into, when I got older, An American Werewolf in London.
I love werewolves.
I love werewolf films. I catch myself a lot just searching for them.
There's a new one coming out. Pearl shared the thing of it. It looks really fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but... Pearl shared on Land of the Creeps. Shout out to Land of the Creeps. She posted it up on the page or something, and I was like, oh, that looks fucking interesting.
But yeah, I've just always been a fan of the Wolfman. I think it's that transformation, just that.
Well, I think the 80s definitely had a toehold or a lock on the fucking transformations for
Wolf. Oh, absolutely.
that's a great question. So
but even if you look at, from back in the 30s when they did the original Wolfman, what they were able to do with camera effects on that. I mean, you look at, if you watch the original, the Wolfman now, it's pretty impressive what they could pull off back then.
I totally agree, man. And all of that was just in camera too. And that's
right.
They didn't have
practical effects, man. They're always better than CGI.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So my question for you guys, what is your favorite adaptation of the werewolf?
For me, I would have to go with American Werewolf in London. And the reason why is because I absolutely love everything about that movie, and it's because of Rick Baker's effects on that film.
Yeah.
That is by far the greatest werewolf transformation ever put on film. You know, here we are 40 years later and people still can't beat that. It's crazy.
The transformation is definitely the best. But as far as like terrifying and like the best, like, see, I like Dog Soldiers.
Oh yeah.
Really good. Yeah. Late Phases had a really good version of a werewolf. Mm-hmm.
Even The Howling. The Howling as a movie was more fear-inducing than American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, and you get a little bit of the difference between Joe Dante and John Landis with that, for sure. There are different takes on it. I've always been a big fan of Company of Wolves.
Yeah, that's a good one. So, that's got old Angela Lansbury in it.
Mm-hmm. And you don't trust the man with the unibrow.
Right. Still don't trust that guy.
No.
Yeah. But I'm a huge werewolf fan too, you know, and I'm a zombie fan, but zombies are zombies, you know.
But they're still considered a movie monster though.
Oh, 100%. The best the best ones are like the Rage zombies. 28 Days Later. Dude, those are the terrifying ones.
I'm telling you, the one that really fucked me up with zombies was the fucking remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, great movie.
And it was like, holy fuck, these things can run.
Yeah.
Well, great movie.
Zombies have such a huge lore with the fact that there's two substantially different segments of zombies in the time period. And now there's even two substantially different segments, you know, post 1969 as well, because you have the Romero and then you have the Infected, whereas before it was voodoo and, you know, not risen dead. It was just under somebody's control, and then it became the risen dead. So there's, you know, a lot to talk about. And one of my favorite people to listen to is Dr. Kyle Bishop, Dr. Walking Dead. I tell you what, man, if you want to learn about zombies, you just listen to Dr. Walking Dead, because Kyle Bishop knows his shit when it comes to zombies.
Right, right. Really? See, that's, it's, you know, you mentioned that, like, the Infected versus, you know, voodoo bringing back. Kind of like we talked about that with our recent episode we did with The Crow, the remake. You know, the original is by far, I'm going to give the remake a chance, of course. But the original is, you know, everybody knows who listens to this. It's like one of my fucking favorite movies of all time.
That's amazing.
But something that they did do in this one that I like a little bit better is that so in the original it was a year later. Mm-hmm. And this one, it's like, it, from what it looks like, I don't know for sure, but from the trailer I seen, it looks like it's like boom fresh. So he's still, the body's not rotted, you know? Okay. So that aspect of it is kind of gone.
Gotcha.
You know, That's just the one flaw that I seen in the original. I was like, well, man, that'd be a year later, you know, just me being a I always overthink things. I'm like, oh, he'd be rotted. You know,
it's funny you talk about that. We were talking about American Werewolf in London. Well, then you had Jack, you know, his buddy that came back, you know, I mean, you could consider him a zombie, but what I loved what they did with him was how, as the movie goes on, you see him slowly, you know, decay and rot, and it's that's cool.
Yeah, by the end of it, he's basically a walking, talking skeleton at the end of it. It's pretty hilarious.
Right.
So
what's your favorite?
I don't really have favorites anymore. Like, for
well,
me,
this
though,
is just,
something,
you know,
that I really like, something that I really like, it's kind of more modernized now than before, is I like the fucking, okay, like Mama and Lights Out.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fucking dark, bone cracking, janky movement type monsters.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
Botet. Are you?
What is that guy's name? Javier Botet does a lot of those. He did the Mama in that movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. Javier, he's kind of like Doug. Oh my goodness, I can't think of his name either. But he played the blue guy in Hellboy. He played the Hellman in Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh yeah, he played the freaking like ice cream man in Legion.
Yeah. Doug Jones.
So, I can't remember his last name, but I actually just watched the thing about him the other day too. Because
he's amazing.
Yeah, they're talking about all the stuff that he's played.
Yeah. This Javier Botet, this guy has been in a lot of, like, he did that new movie Cobweb.
Yes.
He was the guy in that.
And that has that like weird janky movement, like cracking bones kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that kind of that aspect, the darkness of it, that, you know, just that sound alone, people, it's really fucking.
Well, Ryan, are you into like the Asian style ghosts then? Because a lot of those.
Yeah, like Ringu and.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, because they do a lot of that in there.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, we just watched the remake of, or the newer Hellboy, which I like better. The newer Hellboy. And Baba Yaga in that.
You like the newer Hellboy better than the older one?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Very much. Very much so. I think
get the fuck out of here.
I think it's dark. I think it's darker. It is. I like the way he fucking is just like an asshole and fucking like he cusses all the fucking time like I do. You know, I like it a lot better. This is better for me. But no, Baba Yaga in that, she's all twisted up and I like that shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool to me. You know,
Yeah, and we're seeing that a lot in movies now.
Well, you were talking about the you know, foreign film, Japanese and stuff like that. Like, you know, I like the way they do things, man. And it's been really something that I've had to grow into, as far as like being able to, have the patience to watch movies that I have, you know, subtitles and stuff like that. I'm going to be honest with you. Like it was very hard for me for a long time to be able to do that and like appreciate the movie. Cause I always feel like I'm focusing more on reading than I am visually of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm missing things. So I had to really get used to just seeing everything. But like, I really like what they do. You know, they make very good monsters. Like even their zombies, all that stuff is really well done, you know, well made. I can appreciate it.
You can be missing out if you don't go through and read some movies and do some foreign films, because you get films like Terrified, you know, which is a Spanish Argentinian film. You have, you know, films like Train to Busan.
Fucking love that movie.
Korea, and you know, these movies you would never see because they're 100% in a different language. Right. And there was just a recent one, When Evil Lurks, just came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't completely blown away by the story, but you can't get past the visuals that are in that film. You know what I mean? And some of these things you're not going to get from Hollywood. You're not going to get. And that's why I'm such a proponent of independent film as well.
100%. Because
you get so many new ideas
that
aren't going to be told by Hollywood, because Hollywood's banking on money. Whereas some of these other, you know, countries and some of these independent filmmakers, they're not banking on money. They're doing passion projects. So you get better monsters, you get better practical effects, and just more fun, original tales a lot of times. So,
right. I'm 100% with you on that one, you know, something. And, you know, speaking of like I really like the monsters, I guess you would call them monsters. So we're going to go with that, from Ghost of Mars.
Okay.
Like the way that, I always thought they were really cool the way they freaking like they're hurting themselves. They like doing all their shit to themselves and they're just basically feeding, you know what I mean, on these people and stuff like that. It was really, really cool. I thought it was, I mean, the movie, is it amazing? No, but you got a lot of really good actors and I like the storyline. You know, they could even, I think that would be one good to maybe remake, do something really dark with it. You know what I mean? Kind of like a, oh, I don't know. He doesn't really make horror movies, but like James Gunn style, like dark, you know, freaking something like that.
I'm a little, isn't James Gunn, isn't he the one that knows Zach? Who took over the studios over at DC?
Zack Snyder, is that what you're talking about?
I don't know, but whoever just canceled Brightburn 2, I want to fucking smack in the face.
Oh, dude, that movie was killer, dude.
I fucking love
that. Something had to have happened, like the make. Because from what I understand, James Gunn really doesn't, if it's, I can't remember if it's him or not, to be honest with you, if that's who did that. But he usually is really good about wanting to get his movies out and do stuff. Like, I don't know. Everyone's got their own thoughts on So like when James Gunn did the whole Superman, the Dark Universe, whatever side thing of it, a lot of people, oh, they shouldn't have put that episode, that one out, or that version that, out. And
that was Zack Snyder.
Was that Zack Snyder?
That was Zack Snyder. Okay. That did
yeah, people were talking about, oh, let's freaking get rid of that, or what's he going to put it out? But I mean, I thought it was good, you know.
It was really long.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Really, really, really long.
But the, and then again, you know, it's just one of those things where if you're not into it, I'm thinking about it. I watch a movie like, I watch The Stand, and I'm sitting there watching all this stuff, and I watch back. Next, I know it's like 4 or 5 hours later, and I'm like, holy shit, did I just watch? Did I spend fucking 5 hours watching all this?
Was it the new one or the old one?
The old one I like. Mm. I like the new one too.
I like the new one. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I what like I like about the old one though is that's Mick Garris is the director on that one.
It was good.
Stephen King wrote the adaptation to that one. He actually wrote the screenplay, so it definitely had an air of authenticity to it. And that was a crazy shoot. It was like a 180-day shoot, and like they had like 185 or 95 speaking roles. It was like a crazy fucking shoot.
Wow.
Yeah, freaking Rob Lowe had it easy in that movie or in that show.
I have that on DVD, and I have not watched it since the original was like 97 or some shit when it came out.
Really? Yeah. Well, you know what? That's one that you probably every like you said, long time watch it.
Like every 20 years,
you'll appreciate it. You'll appreciate it. You know. Yeah. No, but what are some of ones that you. That you think, so like for me, I was thinking about this. I was thinking more of along the lines of, like I was saying, origins and things like that. Not necessarily the popular ones, but one that it's popular. But I like the origin story, and actually we're getting ready to see an origin story on it. But that's Pennywise.
Yes.
So I really like the story and, you know, just the what he represents and what it is and what it is, you know.
So, what is it?
Exactly.
It's it.
So, and we're getting ready to find out the history of that and the backstory of who Pennywise was. And I'm interested to see it because I think even when I watched the original was really good to me. I liked the original. And it's more for a nostalgic reason. I like it better than the remake, but that's just, like I said, it's because it's a nostalgia thing. And I actually like the narration they did in it and stuff like that. And just the kind of the feeling, you know, I think it had a really, a way better, I don't know, atmosphere to it. But, I'm interested in things like that. Things that, kind of show things that scare you and they come to fruition into a form. They make it's a form of, you know, what scares you. So it's kind of weird. I find that when you're fighting evil or good and evil, whatever you want to call it, you know, whatever that calling, I love that battle between the good and the evil. And, you know, sometimes evil wins that wins the battle, but they don't win the war. You know what I mean? And
right.
It seems like with it, you never know if it's actually ever going to go away, if you're ever going to actually be able to destroy it, you know. Yeah. And that's what's cool to me is that there's that not knowing if you've actually finished off what it is or, you know, if it's going to come back.
Well, and that's the best part of the movie too, is that air of mystery, you know.
Yeah.
Have I defeated evil, or has evil defeated me?
Or have you just, you know, won that battle and now you're waiting? And that's the whole point too, is as far as creatures go.
You may have won the battle, but you haven't won the war.
Yeah.
It's not over.
And so I think that is those type of movies have always attracted me. That whole fight. Like I love Legion. There's a TV show, there was a movie, and a TV show too, was it the Dresden Files or something like
yes.
that?
Yes,
I never watched that. That was good. I never watched it.
That was a good series.
I liked it. And you know, like Supernatural. You know, I like that fight. I'm big into that. Some monsters though, like it's like you can't fight, like Godzilla.
Go, go, Godzilla.
Right. If you don't sing Blue Oyster Cult right after that, then you're not.
Oh, no. There goes Tokyo.
I still have yet to watch,
Godzilla Minus One?
Yes.
I know. I've been waiting for that to hit streaming. And
neither one of you guys have seen that yet.
No.
Not yet.
No.
I saw it twice in the theater. I saw it once in color, once in black and white, and it was
fucking great. I heard it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Is it awesome?
Yeah. It's a throwback. You know, this is back to Toho Studios and the way that they used to do things. Now, the big thing about 54, and even kind of when Americans remade it in 56 by splicing in our own actors because, you know, we're Americans and we need an American in there, it was still story driven. And, you know, Godzilla was a secondary character.
And who was that American?
I don't remember who it was.
Raymond Burr.
Who was it?
Raymond Burr.
Raymond Burr. Okay.
Mr. Perry Mason himself.
Perry Mason. Yeah, I remember that. But it was just silly that we had to splice in all this footage.
And yeah.
I refuse to watch the 56 version when I can watch the 54 version available. So
yeah,
that's just me being pedantic. But this is a throwback to that style where, you know, he's truly the antagonist instead of, you know, whereas later films, he became kind of the protagonist protecting us. And even in the new, you know, the new series that's out through Hollywood, you know, Godzilla's
Monarch series,
you know what I mean? So this was really story driven. You felt the characters, you tear up at points, you know, you cheer at points, and, you know, Godzilla is really just the antagonist of the film, which is actually kind of nice. And the effects were beautiful. So,
yeah, I heard the effects were really good.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I've been looking forward to seeing that. I should have went to the theater and saw it, but
should have. Damn you.
Should have, could have, would have.
Dude, that's what sucks anymore is that I want to go, but I'm so busy.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't get away.
I mean, I almost hit you up this morning to see if you wanted to go see The Omen.
I know.
I really want to see that.
Yeah. Dude, we've been
there so are four movies in the theater last night and that I wanted to see. I wanted to see The Omen, Immaculate, Late Night with the Devil with David S. Malchin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That actually is going to hit Shudder on the 19th.
Yeah, and that's the only reason. Like, I still wanted to see it in the theater. And I almost went today, but it was out of the theater. Yesterday was the last showing. But yesterday, my wife and I went and saw Ghostbusters at Frozen Empire instead.
Oh, nice. Nice.
It's a good popcorn movie.
Cool.
Some cute moments, some good comedy. It's good seeing the old characters back and different things like that. But it was a popcorn movie. You know,
yeah, I like Afterlife. It was good. You know, it's one of those fun ones I could watch with the kids, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, the Ghostbusters movies were always some of my favorites. I didn't really care for the one with all the women. I mean, I'm not knocking the women or anything. I didn't really care for that.
Well, movie, when you can see that they're pushing an agenda, it's kind of...
Right, yeah, it was just kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is I love all the actresses that were in it, but didn't really care for it.
Don't get me wrong, all movies have stuff in them that we probably don't notice, but when it's blatant and just really can't see past it that's... You know,
I still enjoyed that film for what it was. Now, Dave, one of my co-hosts, he absolutely hated that film. But one of his favorites is 1984's Ghostbusters. So he's absolutely such a fan of that one. And I am, too. It's in my top 10 of all time. But I just like I'm cautiously optimistic about The Crow, even though I watched the trailer one time just to see what all the fubbub was about. Even though I don't watch a lot of trailers, I'm cautiously optimistic. And that's the way I go in every film. It's just cautiously. Right. I have to temper my feelings because I've been let down too many times. So now I'm smart enough to go in and not be let down. So
you're
I go
smarter than the average bear.
Well, and for that same,
I am a bear.
That's just like me. You know, like I was telling you guys about the whole having to calm myself to be able to have to get past and grow up and be able to watch a movie that I have to read subtitles in sometime. You know, just to you got to get out of your head. Am I going to have my opinions? Yes, 100%. I'll always have my opinions and I'll give you my opinions, but you got to give it a chance, you know, and not only that, but it's kind of keeping the genre alive and well, you know, like, we got to respect, not really, we got to respect them keeping this going because that's what we're here for. That's why we have this podcast. That's, you know, why we do what we do, for the love of it and to keep it going, you know? So I'll always give that respect to them and stuff like that. It's just everyone has their own preference.
Some people aren't built that way, dude. Some people just aren't built that way. My wife's not built that way. I'll watch she'll try to watch movies with me for the most part. She's not a huge horror fan like I am, but she'll try. Right. And every now and then I'll be watching a movie that has subtitles and she immediately gets on her phone. She's like, I'm already out. I can't do this. And I'm like, well, you literally watch TV with the subtitles on all the time because you can't hear. So what's the difference? Yeah, she was like, yeah, but it's in English. I at least know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. The other thing is she hates when the ADR is messed up. So like we watch an old 70s Italian movie where they have no live sound on any of their movies. It's all ADR.
Right.
Not stand that. She cannot stand dub movies either. And I'm like, one of my favorite movies, I just got this. I'll show you guys. It's fucking beautiful. Look at this beautiful pack. Beautiful. I just got.
Nice package.
Oh, ooh. Not that package. Ooh. Look at this one. So this is the 4K Psychic from Severn, and it's a Lucio Fulci film. It's my second favorite Lucio Fulci film, of course, after Zombie, which is usually everybody's favorite. Mm-hmm. But this is just so fucking good. And we were watching it the one night, and there's a part where she's just screaming her bloody head off, and it's definitely, you can just tell it's not her. It's dubbed.
Right.
What are you watching? This is absolutely terrible. Nothing adds up. I'm like, just go with it. It's part of the charm of a 70s Italian movie. Like it's part of the charm. You just have to get it. Like 70s and 80s, it's just, oh, it feels so good. But she just doesn't get it. So some people just aren't built that way.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I've had to, you know, grow as a person.
I have issues with subtitled movies. And my issues are weird. I'm a very slow reader. And like, there's a lot of times it's like, I can't catch everything, you know, and I'm trying to read so much. I'm like, okay, what am I missing on the screen though? You know?
Oh, yeah.
So I've got to be in the right frame of mind to be able to do it. Like I can't have not smoked any weed for a week or something like that, you know?
Microdosing. But,
drink a monster right before you watch it.
There's a few movies out there that I can do it, and Train to Busan was one of them. That movie, that movie would not be the same if it was dubbed. You would not get all the, God, how do you put that? Passion, I guess.
The expression,
yeah. From the actors in that movie, if they would have dubbed it. And, that's the problem you have a lot with dubbed films. Now, I'm with you. I love the old Italian horror films from the 70s and the 80s. But subtitled movies, I got to be in the right frame of mind for.
Yeah. You know? And that's okay. You're just missing out on some great films. That's all.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I'm not looking down at you. I'm just totally looking down on you.
Yeah, I'm saying he's like you're a real piece of shit.
Well, you are taller than me, so you're always going to look down on me.
You're a real horror fan there, JT. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just said I'm a horror fan. I didn't say I was the horror fan.
Right. Some of us are greater than others.
Yes.
We all can't be Dr. Shock.
Fuck you guys. Do your own goddamn show.
As I'm wearing a Bad Taste t-shirt right now, like one of the worst movies ever made by Peter Jackson.
It's funny. We were scrolling through one of my apps that I have on my stuff, and we were looking at movies, and Mike's like, what the fuck is that? And it was the Bad Taste. And he's just like, you know, he's just like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, you won't want to watch it.
That's where I'm the opposite. I'm like, oh, let's go put it in right now.
Yeah, it's funny, man, because my wife does. She'll watch all kinds of shit with me. Like she, you know, and like she'll be like, let's watch. What did she say? Oh, the other night she was like, hey, can we watch A Troll in Central Park? I'm like, really? She's like, are you really gonna say that? She's like, I sat here
after
and watched
all the shit.
Yeah, she's like, I've sat here.
You made her watch.
I've sat here and watched a girl get freaking gutted before, and you're just sitting and you can't watch A Troll in Central Park.
I don't know what a troll in Central Park is. So
it's an old school cartoon, you know, Disney. Okay. I think it was Disney movie maybe, but so she
not a Frank Henlotter film from the 80s. I got it.
Right. Yeah, different trolls, but no. No, that's literally that is what my house is. The cliche of my house is horror and Disney. That is literally what my house is.
That is horrible.
Yeah, some Disney is horrifying. So
The history. Well, I'm not gonna get into that, but we'll get freaking kicked off of here.
Yeah, I didn't get that DMCA happening.
Yeah. But anyway.
All right, let's get back to the monsters here.
So, I don't know if you guys have any other ones that you're just wanting to bring up, but I wrote a few down that, like, you know, I talked about, like, the Ghost of Mars and stuff like that. I love those characters. And one that I really like, and I like both the movies as well, is the Descent and Descent 2.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the crawlers.
Yeah. The crawlers are on my list to bring up, so you beat me to it.
Sweet. Go. Do you want to talk about them?
Yeah,
no, absolutely. No, you're not allowed. No.
This is my show. I run things.
Do it.
We're just going to mention them and move on. That's all right. No, go ahead, JT.
Hey, have you threw a banner? You need to throw a banner up. Too. Oh,
fuck him and his banner.
Nope, I want to represent. But no, so speaking of this, yeah, I really like the way, I love the way that they, those monsters can't, I mean, they're like human salamander, like salamanders that freaking, he's trying to follow it. Look down here. But like I think they did a really great job of like whoever come up with those. I should have paid attention. I just watched that not even 2 weeks ago, both of them. But those are brutal, man. Really, really cool. I love the way like that chick's in the crevice and she's sitting there and that thing's like right in her face and it's like screaming and shit. I'm like, damn, nice.
It's when they're behind her that always gets me. Just that. I can't remember what's the flash that goes off and you see him just standing there like
isn't that like a flare or something?
I remember the flash goes off and you see the crawler standing there all slack jawed and like kind of like,
yeah,
it's just fucking, it's so creepy and intimidating. But JT, what were you gonna say about him?
I wasn't gonna say nothing about nothing.
I don't know.
Now he's butthurt. Now he's done talking on the show.
I don't want to talk to you guys anymore. I'm not a real horror fan.
No, I wasn't actually wanting to talk about them. I was having you do it. But see, for me, the Descent movies were okay. I mean, I like the creatures on them, you know. But
well, let me say this real quick.
It's been a long time since I've seen those.
Have you ever been into a cave, like deep into a cave?
I have.
Have you, Greg?
It depends on what you define as cave.
And how what you mean is deep.
how deep are we talking?
Because I've been through a lot of caves, pretty deep into some spelunker, caves. Are you? Yeah, and it is fucking creepy down there.
Nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So knowing that, I mean, that atmosphere in that movie, dude, is fucking, it's pretty good. And if you think, just thinking about it, when they say it's pitch black, if you don't have any freaking light, it is pitch. You can't see your hand right here. I mean, you could have be touching your face and not see nothing.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've never gone to caves like that, but I can understand I'm claustrophobic, so that kind of stuff would scare me anyway.
And I am too. So that's kind of why I got into doing that, kind of to fucking get over that fear. You know what I mean? And
I was always worried about them collapsing on me or something.
Yeah. Right?
You know? Yeah, 100%. And that, and like, I hate heights as well. And it's really weird. it sounds stupid and fake, but it's not. So, and it happens with people with guns sometimes as well. If someone's not really around guns a lot, So there's a thing where like if people are high up, they just want to jump. They'll literally, their body is like, oh, and like what will happen if I.
So you have that like mentality, like you just like, huh? I wonder how hard it would hurt if I hit.
No,
the ground.
It's not even that. I can't. It's hard to explain because some people do it with guns. Like they'll fucking literally be. I've seen videos after videos of gun safety videos of people who like oh, it's a gun, and then.
Boom.
It's a legit thing. You can look it up. It's crazy. I don't get the urge to jump, but it's like you get the urge that you know you don't need to be over that edge looking, but you're like,
I wonder what'll happen.
You know, it's very weird. And
I'm wired different.
Yeah, I've never. Yeah, I definitely wired different than most people for sure.
Yeah,
I've never been. I've never been called the brightest tool in the shed. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the sharpest tool in the crayon box.
Jesus. But I want to go back to Pennywise for a second. If we can.
Yeah, go ahead for sure.
Because I listened to your episode over covering Pennywise, and I believe I immediately texted you and started calling you out on different things that you were saying.
Oh, for sure you did.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Way to be a dick, Greg.
I'm just so passionate about it. It's my favorite book, probably outside of either The Outsiders or, you know, 1984 or something like that. So.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that. You were messaging me about the book and stuff. We were
I think that's what I'm hoping that's what the new show is going to dig into. I'm hoping that it's going to dig into, you know, the fire at the Black Spot. I'm hoping that it's going to dig into the explosion at the factory and all these different things, you know, because there was such a big section of the book dedicated to the history that you just don't get in either movie. And the Black Spot, especially, if they don't dig into the Black Spot, which was a bar that was, mm-hmm. you know, specifically for African Americans in Maine at that time, that was burned down by the townsfolk. I mean, that's messed up. And there's a character that shows up in the book that shows up in a different Stephen King book that had come out years before that, and it was kind of like it was like a prequel to his experience in the other book, and that's so it was just really, really cool. And I'll spoil it a little bit for it's the character from The Shining.
Okay.
So
the caretaker?
Yes. So he's the one, not the caretaker. Why am I drawing a blank?
You talking about the woman that comes out of the...
No, that the Scatman Crothers plays.
Oh, yeah. He was the main caretaker of the place. I mean,
I thought he was like the chef or something.
Or the chef. Yeah.
Chef. Yeah. That's right.
So he shows up at the Black Spot the night that
that's cool. Out.
And he's actually in the book, and it's really cool because he's part of, you know, Mike Hamlin's history and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah, see, because like my friend, he actually gave me a really nice hardback copy of it and Dreamcatcher. I think I told you that already in the text messages.
Yeah,
I've never read Dreamcatcher or anything like that, and I haven't read a whole lot of the book itself. I know there's a lot of stuff in the book. We talked about that as well.
It's a big book.
You know, there's a lot of things in there that, you know, really don't need to be, or, I mean, they could be just some things I don't like. Yeah.
I mean, the orgy scene was really hard to read.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. It was hard to read when I read it when I was like 11. It was hard to read, you know, again, when I read it just 2 years ago.
Right.
There's another sex scene earlier in the book that happens with the bullies as well. That's in the book. That's not in either of the movies as well, and it's also uncomfortable to read.
Right. So. Yeah, and it, you know, don't get me wrong, guys. I know everyone has their, you know, you can do whatever. I just, when it comes to the children thing, it's weird. I can go a certain distance and then no.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of how I am.
I have a real hard time with kids and horror stuff. And that's one, you know, Raul, I love him to death. He's my brother, but he almost gleefully enjoys when a kid is murdered on screen.
Yeah. Like, that's like crazy.
He's like, he's the dad of a young child as well. But for some reason, he's just, like I said, wired differently. And for me, it affects me. I quit watching horror for 3 years when my son was born, and it just, I couldn't watch it. It was affecting me different. And that's one of my biggest passions in my life. It's tattooed multiple places on my body. And I just couldn't do it. So it's just different for some people. But
everyone's horror hound.
Yeah, Horror Hound this year was focused a lot on child horror in a lot of different films that I've watched. And so these have been uncomfortable interviews for me for the last couple weeks that I've been doing Horror Hound interviews, because some of their movies I'm like, you fucked me up, bro. I don't really want to talk to you right now, but I am.
And you know what though, man? We talked about it, and that's what scares me, and that's what makes it horrifying for me. You know, because my son asked me the other day. He's like, "Dad, what are you scared of? What movies are you scared of? Is there?" He's like, "What?" Because he wants to watch movies with me. He's like, "What's watching a movie that scares you?" I'm like, "Buddy, when it comes to movies, there's nothing that's gonna scare me, buddy. Like, there's only one thing that scared me. That's something happened to you and your brother. You know, other than that, like, I mean, heights and shit, but. But I mean,
in a cave,
don't jump
on a cliff. I'm fine.
Yeah. What's that movie? Fall or whatever. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Where they're on the radio tower.
I haven't seen that yet, but there's some movies I'm like, I don't know if I can watch a whole movie of someone just sitting on top of a thing and, you know, that's like that. What's that movie? 127 hours or something like that.
Where he's stuck
between the rocks.
Yeah, that's more frightening to me than obviously any monster that would ever attack.
Yeah, or 100% for sure. You know.
Hence why he doesn't go caving.
Yeah. Well, also he's fucking big dude, so like fitting into, you know.
Yeah, could you imagine my 6'2", 250-pound ass trying to spelunk in a fucking cave?
Yes, I can, because my buddy who was with me, one of them anyway, is 6'2", but he's like 300 something. So we were in this freaking cave, and there were some spots where I was like, oh dude, I don't know what we're gonna, because we were like 2.5 hours into this cave.
Wow.
We were well deep in this cave, and I was like, we better just turn around, because I don't think we're gonna be able to get past this next. Well, I could, and the other guy with me could, but my buddy couldn't. So it's kind of like, we've reached our barrier, boys. Time to turn around.
He is both literally and figuratively a bigger man than I.
Right. Yeah. Well, not only that, but man, that's, dude, there was a story not too long ago of a guy that got stuck in a cave. Like, and what's crazy is that he was there with his fam. Like, they're a whole big, huge family reunion type thing. And some of them went to this cave. And what's crazy about this is that he got so deep into this cave, and they were doing this stuff, that he actually got stuck. He got stuck like with his hands behind by his sides.
Nope, I'm out.
He was upside down, stuck. And what's really, and he did pass away. But what's crazy about it is that his family was there talking to him, and the rescue crew were there. They had air going to him. They had all the stuff going to him, but they couldn't get him out. And it's crazy, you know, because once you're in there a certain way, it's kind of like you don't know what's up and down,
same thing with
skiing, like with snow, you get stuck in snow, and I tell you to make a bubble, and then they tell you to spit, and if it, you know, comes back down on you, or if it goes, you know which way direction you're facing. If you spit, then it'll either hit you back in the face, or it'll go down, whatever.
That's a new survival technique. I never thought I'd know, and now I know.
Well, spit on it, Greg.
Just spit on it. Just spit on it.
That's my go-to. Yeah, I've heard it before, but not in that context. That's for sure.
It works with everything, buddy.
Hey, that way you know if it's up or down.
Yeah. Here, I thought power was the most important thing to bring to a party.
Oh, shit.
Jesus. Speaking of crazy, real quick, I want to mention this just because we're all here and why not? And I know that Greg gets mad when I talk conspiracies, but what's your guys' thoughts on I'm not really into, but I think it's cool anyway to talk about. What's your guys' thoughts on the whole freaking eclipse tomorrow and CERN doing its thing and all that jazz?
I'm gonna let you field this one, JT, because.
So have you heard the people that are like, they're saying that the eclipse is fake because it's moving the wrong direction across the country?
I haven't heard that one, but I've heard
it's
that.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Dude, this is by far the stupidest I've seen people in a long time.
Idiocracy is coming, buddy. Like, the movie.
This is bad. Like, if this is like, I don't even know how to put it into words at this point. Like, this is bad.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You know what CERN is?
I know what CERN is, but I haven't heard anything.
Well, they're talking
about. So CERN, for you guys that don't know, is the big super collider over in Switzerland.
Yes.
Yeah. They're trying to make the God particle or whatever.
Right.
You know, which they say can. What's up?
I said Da Vinci Code or some shit. I don't know.
You know. Yeah. You know, we're fucking around with some shit we don't really know. So who knows? We may fucking open something up. It's like, what happened at Montauk, you know? We don't know. But
what was it? The fucking Philadelphia experiment going wrong.
Here? Right. So, but no, people are freaking out. People are freaking out because of the eclipse and CERN's operating at the same time. And it's like, they've been operating for months now. Right. But they're doing something big, supposedly, tomorrow. Who fucking knows?
Fuck yeah.
But I know.
Do people not remember there was an eclipse back in the 90s? Nothing happened.
There was one just in 2017.
Well, yeah, but there was of this magnitude. There was one back in the 90s as well.
Well, there was one of this magnitude in 2017.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because we were actually in the path of totality.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
We had two minutes and 13 seconds of totality here in Rolla.
That's right. I remember that.
See, that's why. Like, why are we?
Why are we worried about it?
Like, it's just
an eclipse. It happens.
It's almost like, you know, the Earth is round and the things orbit around us, and we orbit around one big thing, and it's like.
We all know the Earth's flat.
Like, I just don't get it.
It's flat like the top of Ryan's head.
So I coach a 6, 7, and 8 year old soccer team. So my wife was helping me the other day, and she goes, this little girl goes, my friend's here. And my wife goes, oh, that's great. You have supporters today. She goes, yeah, we call her Flathead Screwdriver because her forehead's really big. Jess looked at me. She's like, what the fuck do I say to that?
You laugh and you walk away.
I would have laughed my ass off and been a totally terrible adult at that point, because I'd be like, let me see her. I want to see if her head's really that big.
Oh, dude, my wife hates me with that shit, because my kids will say something and I'll fucking start laughing. And I cover my face. She's like, you are no fucking help. I can't help it.
It's... Well, you know, one of my co-hosts and best friends is Dustin, right? And I call him D all the time. So Silas calls him Uncle D. And I said something about D's because I was referring to something that was him. So he was possessing something. So D's. And I said, well, it's D's. And he said, D's what? And I immediately came out, D's nuts. I got a pretty dirty look at that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, my son would say that, because if I said that, he'd be the one going, these nuts. And I'm like, and he's only 10. So it's like, fucking, I'm so bad about that, because my kids soak up everything. It's so like my young. Yeah. My youngest right now, he's doing Spanish and stuff, like, so he can say the whole, he's on a 7. He can do the whole Spanish alphabet, and he can, you know, he knows like his manners and stuff. I get in Spanish and all that, and count and stuff, but he's learned all that stuff, and he's like, do you know Spanish? And I'm like, I took Spanish for 5 years, and I only know some words, and I'm not teaching any of those.
I know a lot that you're not allowed to say.
Yeah. She's like, my wife's really good at Spanish. She's like, no, you just come to me. You need to know something. Don't talk to your dad.
First thing I teach you is everything is shit. Mierda. Mierda. Mierda over there. Mierda over there.
Everywhere. Punto bendejo.
Mierda aquí.
Oh, yeah. I'm horrible.
Hey, we need subtitles for people here.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, see? We're bashing subtitles, and we're going to need them. Jesus.
We did a great job talking about monsters. We've talked about Pennywise.
Everything but.
Hey, we talked about monsters.
Apparently this is going to be a continued episode where we talk about monsters again.
Hold on. Yeah, because you were saying something you want to talk about, like slithering monsters or leechy type.
Well, I don't remember saying that at all. But
didn't you say that?
No.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think JT was talking about a slithering monster earlier, but that's...
No, fuckers. I know you said something about it.
No, I mean, that one spits, and it kind of looks like that movie The Stuff.
Ectoplasm.
it looks like the worm from Star Wars, and it spits out the stuff from The Stuff. It's fucking weird.
You got a guy standing there saying, it slimed me.
We just insulted three movies with one penis.
Yes, we are getting better and better every time.
Oh. No, but hey, that's what we do.
There are a lot of monsters that I would like, you know, obviously I'm huge into like the lore and stuff like that. So there's movies like The Pyramid that talks about Anubis, and then you have movies like Troll Hunter that talks about the Jotun and all that kind of stuff. So there's different things like that that we can obviously get into, but this is obviously how things go when the three of us get together.
Right. You know, we can't trust ourselves.
We're fucking full grown.
You know, I thought we were going to sit down and talk about Xenomorphs.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have a nice conversation about monster movies.
You thought wrong, bitch.
Yes. Welcome to this.
That's going to be the title of this episode. You thought wrong, bitch.
Definitely not getting monetized.
That goes right well with all the episodes that I've had out recently. The spicy taint. What was the other one I just put out? Like, what was the power of your genitals compel you or something like that? Yeah, it's been bad couple weeks.
Oh, hey, by the way, I listened to the show that you did. It was a little while back, but the guys from Texas. God, what was the name of that?
The guys from Texas?
Was it on Sights and Sounds or Monster?
No. It was Greg was on their show.
Oh yeah, Evil Never Dies.
Evil Never Dies, and I was gonna say thanks for the shout out on there.
Oh, no problem, man. I shout you guys any chance I get when I think about it.
Don't ever listen to these fucking people.
You want to get wrapped up in a bullshit conversation, go on their show.
But I'm sure my conversation with them was probably about the fact that when the three of us are together, it's just a cacophony of chaos and that you know, we make zero sense.
No, actually, you were just talking. You guys got into a thing about music and stuff, and they were asking you about music, and you gave me and Lunatic a shout out on there.
Well, Lunatic is my podcast intro for Monsters and the Mosh Pit. So
you guys got some new Lunatic on the way.
Hopefully soon enough, I'll be good enough that me and JT can put something together and do our own intro. I've been playing.
I don't know what you're doing with your hands right there.
It is a monster episode.
Yeah. Nothing of this is an instrument. I just want
ask
you to
ask me about my wiener. Oh, no, I'm starting to get my cow. I'm building up my cows. The smallest violin.
You look like you're milking a cat.
Is that a teat or a penis? I don't know, but there's some stuff getting ready to come out of it. So either way.
Terrible. We're absolutely horrible people.
We are.
I'm such a piece.
And that's what we love about ourselves.
I've actually been practicing.
I've been playing guitar for like the last month now. I play every day.
That's good.
I got my fucking fingertips where there's no more fucking fingerprint on them.
Yeah, he sticks them in his ass.
You got your pH.
You think
off
yours are bad?
Pretty acidic up there.
Yeah. I need to change my diet.
Oh, way too much citrus in my diet. Way too much.
I don't remember eating that.
I put the ass in acidic.
Most people worry about Chipotle.
Jesus.
I worry about oranges.
Oh, God. We are horrible people.
We are.
Yes. All right, guys. I think that's going to be it.
And again, we talked about nothing like we were supposed to.
Yes,
so.
We did.
But hey.
You say what you want at least 10% of the time.
Will.
I bet 10% of this fucking video is about monsters.
At least 10%.
At least.
You know, maybe.
Maybe 11.
6.9 at least.
I didn't even bring up my wiener in this fucking episode. Wait, yeah, I did.
I think this was probably the 13th time the word penis has come up in this. Or a form of penis.
What? That scene is
Hey, that's the thing. have you ever noticed it all depends on the size? You know, if it's just a regular, it's a dick. But if it's really big, that's a fucking cock.
Or
a
hole. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
if it's small, it's a little prick.
It's it, well, so how small has it got to be a wee wee?
Oh, God. Wee-wee. Are we speaking a different language again?
What I get out of that? Just remember, wee-wee is yes in French.
Yes, yes.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, my God. See, we can bring our... we can do this new thing where, like, we make a drinking game out of our show. You make a drink, and every time they hear the word penis or a reference to, they drink.
5 minutes into the video, they'll all be passed out.
Yeah, they'd be hammered. Could you imagine some of my drinks? Like, I'm about all the way through my drink tonight, and if they drank more than one of these, they'd be fucking hammered.
See? I'm telling you, we have a good time.
What are you drinking there, by the way?
You know what? It's kind of like a Long Island iced tea, except for I used Sprite because I was really going for a lime feel. I also used lime gin instead of regular gin tonight.
Oh, so there you go.
Oh, dude. Pretty much
Long Island iced tea with Sprite.
I was wondering why you were all puckered over there.
Oh, dude.
Sometimes you just want to go for the classics, man.
Fuck yeah. The classics. They're called brass knuckles. The classics.
I gotta show you guys the picture I sent to Brohio. It was fucking... Oh, I don't have my phone.
It's not
the brass knuckles with a taco holder.
Yes! And yes! Yes! And fucking Jesus.
Yes, I've seen said brass knuckles. They may or may not have already been sent to me. So.
That's fucking hilarious.
Unfortunately, we run in the same mindset.
There you go, dude. Oh, I sent that over to... Do you ever listen to Brohio?
Oh, yeah.
So I sent that over to I'm in their private group. And I sent that over to them, and I'm like, no lowballing. I know what I got.
There's balling for sure happening with that one.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine that? Jesus. I mean, that's a lot. It's like handlebars.
I want to know what kind of taco goes on there.
It would have to be a hard shell, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'd have to be hard. You wouldn't get it in there. You can't be doing that with a floppy.
No, you can't have a soft tortilla.
Can't have a soft roll. Well, I guess you could roll it in there and shoot it in like you're shooting marbles or something.
Oh, God.
Nothing's worse than a soft tortilla.
Soggy tortillas. Jesus Christ, we are horrible. We're going to have to cut out the whole last 7 minutes of this podcast.
Jesus.
We're going to stop this podcast at an hour.
Jesus Christ. Get it right.
So this episode's going to be 10 minutes long, just so you know.
Yep.
And then we're going to have a gag reel.
It's just the intro and then like 5 minutes of us just laughing and then the outro.
The only thing you can monetize is our laugh at this point.
Yeah.
Oh no, what we should do is just break it down to the intro and then every time we mention the word penis or a reference of and then us laughing, that's all it's in it. It's just jokes and us laughing. That's
60 minutes of us giggling.
Little girls.
Just giggling like we know what's happening and no one else does.
Oh, God.
That's it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pull some of these laughter clips out of there and I'm just going to go in and I'm going to put penis and then us laughing for 10 minutes. And then maybe I'll put a fart sound in there and us laughing for like 5 more minutes.
Oh, geez. I've been writing down timestamps so we can do some like little clips. I'm just going to put the last 10 minutes.
The comedy roll.
Oh, shit. All right, well, guys, right. We're going to continue laughing after this, but let's say goodbye to you guys.
Greg, let's get you back on here for a real episode sometime.
It would never happen. That's the problem.
Yeah. We need to start. We'll just do comedy break with Greg Bozzelli.
We need to start taking ourselves more seriously, guys.
Jesus.
No, but we do want to get you on some shows.
Let's
we'll talk about that later.
I'll come on any show you guys want me to. I told you that before. I love you guys like brothers. You guys make me laugh, which is great in these times. And you know, I'm always here for you guys because I love being on with you guys.
Fuck yeah, we love you guys, man.
All right, well, Greg, Monsters on the Mosh Pit, Sights and Sounds of Horror. Is that like
Sights and Sounds, a history of heavy metal and horror?
Yes, you got to check him out over there. He's doing actual real episodes, unlike this one. go over and check him out, show him some love, send him some money because he needs it.
Yes.
Greg, we'll get you back on here as soon as we can, buddy.
All right, bro. Horns up, guys.
All right, man. See ya. Oh my God.
Yes, debauchery at its best.
I don't even know how we put up with ourselves. But anyway.
Anyways, Horror Fam, we love you guys. You guys know you love it. You'll laugh along with us. Yeah. But more importantly, guys, as always,
until next time, keep it creepy.